taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans. Thanks for joining me here at the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution and we teach the rising generation to be free. I'm glad you could join me. I've got an interesting program today. I started with an article I found. This one came from the Daily Caller, and it talked about a new poll by the Trafalgar Group. Now, according to this poll, most voters, Republican, Democrat, and Independent, don't believe Washington looks out for their interests. Now, apparently, this survey release showed more than three-fifths of voters, including three-quarters of Republicans, over half of Democrats, believe the will of the people is no longer a consideration to leaders in D.C. when making policy or legislative decisions. Now, the Trafalgar Group, apparently they have a history of being, let's say, a little bit more Republican-leaning, but I find it interesting that they found that over half of Democrats don't believe that Washington's looking out for them. Now, looking at some more of the details, they say that 62.4% of likely 2022 midterm voters, including 76.4% of Republicans, 50.4% of Democrats, and 59% of what they call no party or other, think Washington ignores the wants and needs of their constituents. In other words, just shy of two-thirds of the people think that Washington doesn't work for them, that Washington isn't paying attention to them. Yet, in fact, they hire these people that they say are not doing what they want. How's that for a representative republic? Now, the question this brings to mind is, why does anybody believe that the people in Washington give a hoot what the people want? I mean, think about it. When was the last time, and they talk a lot about, we're doing it for the people, for the people, for the people. But look at what they do. They don't act for the people. They ignore the consent of the governed as specified in the Constitution. So really, why is anybody surprised? And more importantly, if 60+% of the likely voter think that the people in Washington aren't paying attention to their constituents, why do they keep hiring them? Why are they still there? So I wanted to take some time today. I sifted through some of my news. There's a lot of recent news that kind of shows why the American people don't think the government in Washington, D.C. is looking out for their needs. And we're going to start with an interesting, at least I find interesting, another example, another whistleblower. This whistleblower warned Tucker Carlson that the NSA has been spying on him. Now, how did this come about? I talked about this a little bit the other day, but according to the Fox host, he was contacted by this whistleblower. During the discussion, the whistleblower quoted private texts and emails that only Mr. Carlson and the person he was talking to should have access to. Now, it shouldn't be shocking to anyone that the NSA is spying. They're collecting data on us without a warrant. That's part of what the Patriot Act allowed. It said, hey, yeah, go ahead, collect data, keep us safe. Forget those rights. We'll, you know, your rights are not important because we're going to keep you safe. And then we're surprised when the NSA actually goes out and does it. Now, again, the only evidence so far is a whistleblower quoting emails and texts from Mr. Carlson. As I understand it, he has put in a FOIA request to get documentation to find out why and what is going on, and which is his right. But again, thinking about this, this is a man who five nights a week is seen by millions of Americans, millions and millions of people. If they can mess with him, what's to keep them from messing with you? Now, the NSA sent a letter, and it's interesting because according to some sources, that the NSA says they deny that they're spying on Tucker Carlson. Well, I'm an author. I've grown up around editors. I've grown up with the idea that words have meanings, and being particular in the words that you use is important. So when the NSA says Tucker Carlson has never been an intelligence target of the agency, and the NSA has never had any plans to try to take his program off the air, that sounds like an interesting worded sentence to me. So I did a little digging, a little bit of, well, only a little bit of investigation, and I realized there are a lot of rules that have been set up that could make that sentence absolutely true, yet not disprove the whistleblower. Why do I say that? So we have this Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, this FISA court, that issues warrants that are illegal. You know, many of them are illegal. The process is an abomination. But one of the things they do is, let's say they're investigating, they're tracking the emails of some non-American, a foreigner. And let's say that Mr. Carlson, in his job, in his business, is communicating with people outside of the U.S., being an anchor, a newscaster on a national program and in an international network, you could see very well reasons why he might be communicating with people outside of the United States. Now, if FISA, if the NSA gets a FISA warrant that says, hey, we are looking at what's going on in this country and you want to secure the data from this person, all the communication that person communicates with Mr. Carlson, well, guess what? They've got his emails. Well, okay, they're only supposed to have the emails between Mr. Carlson and this foreigner, and they're supposed to blank out. In other words, supposed to say, you know, American number one or something like that. It's not supposed to identify who the American is without some sort of unmasking document. Again, I'm not saying it's legal. I'm saying this is how I understand that this process works. So the first thing they do is they find anybody, all they need is a warrant for anybody that Mr. Carlson has communicated with, because they have what's called the two-hop rule. That means if they are surveilling person A, they can go two hops from person A and collect data. So if person A contacts person B, and then person B contacts person C, according to their rules, I'm not saying it's legal, I'm not saying it's constitutional, this is how I understand that it works. According to their rules, they can collect that data. So that means if they talk to person A, if they're surveilling person A, and that person emails Mr. Carlson, not only can they look at person A's email communication, they can look at all of Mr. Carlson's email communication. He isn't the target of an intelligence of the agency. He is not the target. He's the ancillary. Got it? I think they call this reverse targeting. You don't target him. You target someone that to let you get to him through the back door. Oh, by the way, if you happen to communicate with Tucker Carlson, now they can surveil your data as well. Notice how I said that. So if they get a warrant for person A communicates with Mr. Carlson. Now they can look at Mr. Carlson's email, including inbound and outbound. So you send an email to Mr. Carlson. Hey, great program. Hey, you're an idiot. Whatever. They now hop to your email account, and they believe they have the legal authority to now search your email account. Sound like a fishing expedition to you? And then people wonder why. They say, you know what? I don't think Washington is watching out for the American people. They certainly aren't following the Constitution, because even if they're surveilling someone overseas, to see Mr. Carlson's email requires a valid warrant, supported by probable, or based on probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and specifically stating what is to be searched. That is the requirement of the Fourth Amendment. And again, people are surprised. Anyone who's surprised that the people don't think Washington is doing their business, it cares a lick about them except when it comes time for them to vote, I think is deluding themselves. They're living in a bubble. So I don't know about you. Now, again, these are allegations. To my knowledge, Mr. Carlson has not given evidence that the whistleblower has provided him copies of his emails and texts. He has submitted a FOIA request, I understand. He is looking for documentation and data. Somehow, I think the NSA is going to find a way to bury whatever would show that they actually are spying on Americans. But anybody that doesn't believe the NSA is not spying on you, anybody who believes the NSA is not spying on the American citizen, really has been living with their head in the sand. I mean, you like Snowden or hate Snowden, think him as a patriot or a traitor, he did expose the fact that the American government is spying on the American people. They are searching their data, their digital documents without a warrant. And it's been going on for decades. And we're surprised. Now, we're all pretty much aware of that. And most of us are aware of big tech and the fact that they collect data. I see emails every so often. They do tests on what data is collected by your smartphone and then sent to Apple and Google, often without your permission or without your knowledge. There are studies about how much data Google and Facebook and Twitter collect, not even just on their sites. One, as long as their site is open, they're collecting data about what you're doing through your web browser. But here's what I didn't realize. And once I read it, it doesn't surprise me. This came out of the 10th Amendment Center. During the height of the pandemic, during all this craziness, a company called Nightscope posted on a blog that Nightscope is the only company in the world that we know of commercially operating fully autonomous vehicles 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in all types of environmental conditions across the entire country with no human intervention. The Nightscope team now has deployment contract across 5 U.S. time zones. Okay, so Nightscope has these automated vehicles around the country in 5 different time zones. Now, what are they doing with these autonomous vehicles? Well, quote, with 360-degree automatic license plate recognition included in the K5 ASRs and K1 stationary machines equipped with static ALPR, Nightscope's robotics fleet has detected more than 10.5 million license plates. This critical data is continuously scanned for be on the lookout or BOLO individuals or license plates belonging to persons of interest for respective clients. Oh. So it isn't the federal government that's out collecting data. It's not even your police department that's collecting data. They're getting Nightscope to do it, to use their own equipment to collect this data. And then they scan the data looking for a crime. Well, or more accurately, if they're looking for someone, they search this database looking for you. In other words, they collect data on you in case they need to find you because they think you maybe committed a crime. Anybody else bothered by this? I mean, it's one thing to be out and about and to have someone looking, you know, a white male, 6 foot tall, you know, graying hair, overweight, and they look and they say, hey, maybe that, you know, here's your picture. They look at me and they go, is that him or is that not him? It's quite another thing for everything I do in public to be scanned, recorded, digitized, and tracked so that when they go looking for me, they go looking for a somewhat overweight, 6 foot tall white male, they go through my records because I might just fit. Anyone else disturbed by this? Anybody else recognize what this is? Is this really any different than what's going on in communist China? Do we really want to live in such a surveillance state? Now, I know when you are out and about, what you do when you're out and about is open for people to see. But when you have government actors or government contractors collecting all of that information and storing it. See, I did not consent to Nightscope keeping track of images of my private property. My vehicle is my property. I have a tag on it so that the state mate knows that they got their tax money. But I did not consent to them collecting this data and using it for purposes I did not approve. Now, if this were a picture of me, guess what? If they were doing a movie, right? And I was on the street and they collected all this data and they had pictures of me and then they used it in a movie without my permission, I could sue. When I do events, when I record events, I have to get release forms from everybody there that might be on camera or that might be recorded. How is this any different? That is my private property. And if a company wishes to use that information, wants to use images of me without my consent, how is that not a crime? And if the federal government or any government entity has a contract with Nightscope and says, please do, we're doing a be on the lookout. Excuse me, where is your warrant to search my data about me? Persons, houses, papers, effects. The fact that we live in a digital world, shouldn't that mean pictures of me as well? Shouldn't the government require a warrant based on probable cause supported by oath or affirmation before they go snooping around data of individuals with no accusation of a crime? This is disturbing. This is the basis of almost every dystopian novel and movie ever written, where you have a out-of-control government that tracks everything that people do so that when anybody does anything wrong, they know exactly where to find them. Or more accurately, when they do anything those in power don't like, you can hunt them down and get them. The fact that it's a private company that's doing the collection doesn't relieve them from the fact that they are using my property, images of my property, without my permission. And this bothers me. And I'm kind of looking, is there a lawyer out there that wants to try a lawsuit on this one? I'd be interested in it. I don't know. I live in a small town, so I doubt that Nightscope is running around my small town. But I'd love to consult on that to provide constitutional basis. I mean, this is not a free state. How can you be the land of the free when the government is tracking everything you're doing? The fact that they're using private contractors to gather the data, if the government is using it, we no longer live in a free state. We are in a surveillance state. And the fact that Nightscope is using my image without my permission bothers me. If I was driving down the street and they caught a picture of me down the street, they got to get my permission for just about anything else. Benjamin Franklin said, if you'll give up your essential rights for the promise of temporary safety, you deserve neither liberty nor safety. We are giving up our essential liberties when we sit back and don't petition our government for redress of grievance when you have private actors using our data, using our images, using images of us, data about us, without our permission. When are we going to stand up? When are we going to say enough is enough? And let me ask you this. How many of you really thought about that? Before I started talking about that, thought about the idea that, if someone wants to use an image of you, they need your permission. But here you have companies collecting images of you and of your property, and they're using it without your permission. Is it because the government has given them some special dispensation, or because courts have found, yeah, they can do that? I mean, the Fourth Amendment is about your right to privacy, and when you're out in public, it's not private, right? Except the Fourth Amendment doesn't say anything about privacy. It says you'll be secured from unreasonable searches and seizures. How secure are you from an unreasonable search when pictures of you can be searched without your permission and without a warrant? And just because a private entity is doing it or is doing the actual collection of data doesn't mean the government gets to go searching through that. And it doesn't mean the government gets to go ask that company, would you please search for all of Paul Engel's data? That's a criminal state. That's a tyrannical state. It is a criminal state. And that is the state that we are living in today. How do you like that? Now, the reason I ask you what you thought about if you'd thought about that before, I hadn't for a while. It only came on me as I was reading that particular article, this general idea of when you have private companies collecting images of you and using them without your permission, there's a violation there that, not being a lawyer, I don't know the specific law in this case, but it got my attention. Why is that important? Well, because this summer, in fact, starting in mid-August, I'm going to be going around and teaching people to recognize when their rights are being violated. We're going to be talking about the Fourth Amendment in those sessions. So if you want to find out more, head to constitutionstudy.com/tour, T-O-U-R. You can find out more about the tour. You can find out where I'll be speaking. If I'm coming near you and you can attend, I look forward to meeting you, shaking your hand. Tell me you listen to me on America Out Loud. It'll be wonderful. If I'm not coming near you, wait, don't worry. There's a form at the bottom of the page. Fill that out, and we'll see if I can put an event on near you. It doesn't have to be a big event. You don't need to rent a hall or put a 100 people together. It could be as simple as a group of friends and families meeting in someone's house or meeting in the back of a restaurant. Let's see what we can do so that others can recognize when their rights are being violated, so that we are prepared to defend and assert them. And if you want to help support that, you can do so at the Constitution Study. Again, either you can bring me to your location. If you can financially support me, that would be great. There's a lot of expense in driving around and having all the materials to do all this, because I don't charge when I show up. You don't pay me to come do this. Now, most places have been very kind about providing a hotel room for me, but there's no charge for me to come do this and do this teaching at any of your events. So please contact me. We'll see what we can do. I'm looking forward to this. I've got anticipation for the chance to meet all of these people. Now, I don't know about you. My job has involved travel. I haven't been doing travel very much because we had this 18 months of COVID insanity. But when I travel, almost 30 years, I traveled for work. And the worst part of traveling for work, well, other than the airport delays, is probably that first night when you're sleeping in a hotel. Because I don't know about you, I cannot fall asleep. It's terrible. I wake up the next morning, I'm tired and I'm bleary-eyed. Well, I'm looking forward to it. It's like, I got this new stuff. I've tried everything. I've tried the Tylenol PM. I've tried the melatonin. I've got this new thing. My wife uses it. She loves it. I'm looking forward to using it. It's called REM Sleep from Healthy Cell. It's not a pill. It's actually a little packet with a gel inside. You open it up, you take it as a shot, you mix it in a drink. My wife has terrible insomnia. My wife's been using it. She loves it. She falls asleep. She stays asleep. She wakes up in the morning feeling, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, much happier. So if you want to find out more, go to healthycell.com/outloud. See, as an Out Loud listener, they'll give you 20% off your first order. So if you have problems sleeping, or if you're like me, you travel and have problems sleeping, go there, go to healthycell.com/outloud, try the REM Sleep or any of their other supplements. It's a wonderful way to get the vitamins you need, to stay focused, get the sleep you need, and to do so quickly and easily.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cells Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology, designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
As we celebrate our five-year anniversary, America Out Loud has expanded its mission through a newly designed website with a host of new contributors, all carrying a vibrant message of hope and survival for this country we love. AmericaOutLoud.com. Together, we'll secure the future for generations to come.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. We've returned to the Constitution study, and today we're talking about this poll done by the Trafalgar Group that says that a majority of Americans of all political stripes don't believe their government is actually paying any attention to what they want. They don't think the people matter to Washington. My question has always been, well, gee, what made you think they mattered in the first place? But that's neither here nor there. And we're going through some examples. We've talked about Tucker Carlson claiming he's been spied on by the NSA and how we all know we're being spied on. I mean, it may be denied, but we know it's happening. We've talked about private surveillance companies that are using automation and automated license plate readers so that they don't, the government doesn't have to search for you. We'll let the private companies do all the work. So let's take another look at what's going on. Gee, why would the people not think that the federal government has their best interests in mind? Well, let's take a look at this. The Supreme Court has left in place the CDC's eviction moratorium, at least through July. Now, I need to go through their opinion. I haven't read the details, and I want to do that. So I will certainly go through this in more detail on a later show. But let's take just a quick look at what I do know. Now, first of all, the Constitution of the United States does not authorize a Centers for Disease Control. There's nothing in the Constitution that says the United States has the authority to monitor, manage, or in any way deal with disease. Second of all, the CDC, if in any role, is basically it's an advisory board. It's supposed to give us information about disease. They have no legal authority. They cannot make law. Yet here we have them saying, oh, by the way, we're going to not only make law, we're going to put in place an eviction moratorium. We're going to decide to violate the contracts of millions of landlords because we basically have shut everything down because we overreacted to the COVID virus, the novel COVID virus. And we drove everything nuts. So we put people out of work so they can't pay their rent. So we're going to tell the people, the landlords, you can't evict them because they can't pay their rent because the government put them out of business. Does any of this make sense to you? Why is the CDC, where in heaven's name does the CDC think they get the authority to tell landlords they cannot enforce their contracts? This isn't simply an eviction moratorium. This is an impingement on contracts. This is a a manipulation of contracts. Your lease is a contract between the landlord and the renter. And the CDC basically has just come in and said, you know what? We don't care. We don't care. We're going to say you can't evict them. Now, their logic being that this virus, which has not a deadly virus, repeat, not a deadly virus. Unless you are old and frail, you have a 99.4% chance of surviving this disease. So it is not a deadly virus. So for that, they said, well, people are going to spread it because they, you know, if they get evicted, they got to go somewhere. Yeah. And I mean, they're going somewhere anyway. Now, here's the interesting thing. Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution says states cannot impair the obligation of a contract. But here you have the federal government impairing the obligations of a contract, the obligations of the renter to pay rent. And the Supreme Court has just said, yeah, we're going to leave this in place. And I want to read the opinion because I want to see how they warped and twisted the law to come up with this nonsense. It should be interesting. I have my thoughts, but I want to find out the truth directly from the court's opinion. The other thing I found interesting, based on some of the reports, is how they say, oh, Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Brett Kavanaugh joined with the court's three Democrat-appointed justices to keep the moratorium in place. As if the political party of the president that appointed you makes any difference. I'm sorry, nobody who has paid any attention to the court could really look at them and say that just because you've been appointed by a Republican, you're going to go one way. And if you're appointed by a Democrat, you're going to go another way. I mean, just look at, say, Antonin Scalia and Anthony Kennedy, both appointed by Ronald Reagan. Or add in Sandra Day O'Connor, another Ronald Reagan appointee that are all but diametrically opposed. David Souter and Clarence Thomas, two George H.W. Bush appointees, almost diametrically opposed. The idea that the courts are somehow not political is laughable. So hang on. I will go into this in more detail in one of my upcoming episodes. This is my crazy season when it comes to the Supreme Court, because June is when they've released all of their stuff. So I'm still wading through all of their opinions. I will get to this one. I just haven't gotten the details. But again, let's say you're a landlord. And you're now stuck with a bunch of renters who haven't paid the rent, yet you're still expected to pay the taxes on this property, aren't you? And the utility bills and the maintenance and everything else. And then they look at what comes out of Washington, D.C. and says, gee, I wonder if the will of the people even matters. I wonder if the law even matters anymore. So we've got that. Now, while we're on the mention of the CDC, I saw a report that the CDC director said vaccinated people do not need to wear a mask, even with the Delta variant. All right, again, I want to find out data. From what I've heard, the vaccines are supposed to work against the Delta variant. The Delta variant is not more dangerous, not more deadly than other variants. I hear all this scare information, claims without any facts or data behind them. But here's the point that grates me. Again, now, if the CDC director is merely saying, listen, it is our advice that if you're vaccinated and you are protected against a Delta variant, you don't need to wear a mask. Now, let's ignore the fact that there is sufficient scientific evidence, peer-reviewed, studied reports that mask wearing does not stop a virus. Mask wearing does make you susceptible to other bacterial infections, and that when these masks that most people are wearing are tested, what's in the mask is deadlier, far deadlier, than COVID-19. Okay, so the CDC is recommending that if you have had your vaccine, if you've taken your experimental shot, if you've been a good little serf, a good little plebe, and done as you're told, well, then you don't have to wear the mask that we know doesn't work. And okay, it's a CDC recommendation. My problem is, how many governments, how many businesses, how many locations are using this trash of data? And I do mean trash, not the data that the CDC generates. I'm talking the political claptrap that's been coming out of their director and out of Fauci. I look at this and say, mask wearing is, unless you have some other condition, mask wearing is not necessary based on the data coming out of the CDC, not what's coming out of the director's mouth. I wouldn't trust what the director says with a 10-foot pole. Again, why do people say we don't trust that what's coming out of Washington legislatively or policy-wise has the people's best interest, is based on the will of the people? Because of claptrap like this. The nonsense that says, oh, well, you know, now I'm torn, because my first, if I look at this completely objectively, if I took away all of the last 18 months of stupid stuff coming out of the mouths of CDC director, and I were to simply say, listen, if you're vaccinated, it works against the Delta variant, there's no need to wear a mask. I still get that as stupid, because again, a virus is like one one-thousandth the size of the openings in the masks you buy at the store. So I'm sorry, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out it's not going to stop a virus. But they're saying they're making a recommendation. They're making a recommendation. Okay, that's their job. It's illegal. They don't have any legal, they don't have any constitutional authority to be there. But how many people are bowing and scraping and listening to every word out of this person's mouth and claiming it's science when it's exactly the opposite of science? Science is you have a hypothesis. You test it, you observe the test, and then you modify your hypothesis. Not what these people have been doing, which is you have a hypothesis, you test it, you look at the results, and then you change the test to get the result you want. I'm tired of the CDC. Every time anybody from the CDC opens their mouth, I just assume they're lying to me. Why? Well, there's this little story about the boy who cried wolf. How many times have they lied to us? Why? Is anyone surprised that the people don't trust what comes out of Washington anymore? Why do we listen to these fools? And why do we keep hiring them? See, that's the part that I want to know. I want to know why we keep hiring people we know are lying to us. Speaking about people lying to us, Anthony Fauci is at it again. He's come out and said that don't bother with the antibody test. It's a waste of time. Just get your booster shot. Okay, so we've already got a experimental vaccine. An experimental vaccine that has been the source of, 6,000 deaths now? I think it's either 5,000 or 6,000 deaths. 100 times more than has been the excuse for pulling other vaccines. My doctor was telling me which one it was. There was a vaccine. 50 people died. They pulled it off. They wouldn't let it be out. We've got over 5,000, I think maybe now over 6,000 deaths directly attributed to one of the vaccines. Yet they're still out there. And what does Mr. Fauci says? Don't bother with the test. Don't bother with whether or not you actually are in danger from this stuff. No, just be a good little plebe and get your shot. Again, why does anybody listen to this buffoon? This man has lied to the American people for 18 months. First, you should wear a mask. Then don't wear a mask. Then I didn't say that you shouldn't, I didn't say that what I said, I said something else. And it's one thing to say, you know, information changes, but I'm sorry. The only thing you pay into attention to information that keeps him in front of a camera. How about the information that masks cannot stop a virus, not the mask that you're buying at the store? How about the fact that 99.4% of average Americans survive? How about that? But no, we're supposed to trust this fool. Anybody in his right mind shouldn't trust this person. He's the boy who cried wolf. Why am I going to put a shot in my arm? Because this person, I was going to say something else. Because this person who's lied to me over and over and over again said I should. Ain't no way, Mr. Fauci. I am not getting the shot. I am not taking the booster shot. I don't trust you. If you told me the sky was blue, I wouldn't believe it. If you had the cure for cancer, I don't know if I'd trust you because you've lied to the American people. Yet you still have a job. You still rake in hundreds of thousands of dollars a year lying to the American people. And the people who pay the people who authorize your salary, yet we, the American people, keep hiring them. Who's the fool? The person who lies or the person who pays to be lied to? While we're at it, Fauci did say something. Believe it or not, Fauci said something I believe is true. He made a prediction that I believe is true. I know it's scary. So he warns there's going to be two Americas, the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. Think about that for a second. We already have cities and colleges and universities. We have high schools. We have businesses that are treating you differently whether or not you got vaccinated. You have schools that say, well, you have to prove that you've been vaccinated when you go to prom. Otherwise, we're going to make you wear a mask and segregate you. We have colleges. I've seen reports of them. Colleges across the country saying, either you get vaccinated or you're going to have to pay a fee. Or get vaccinated and you're not going to be allowed on campus. We have businesses intimidating their employees to get vaccinated, to be an experimental guinea pig for a vaccine that is still under an experimental use order. And by the way, all those states and cities that have been passing laws and ordinances that say, you know, you can't force someone to take COVID, every one of them I've looked at says, until the FDA approves it. So once it's gone through all of its testing, once the FDA, another corrupt government agency with no constitutional legitimacy, once they say it's okay, all those ordinances protecting you from having to take the virus disappear. Tell me, why do you think people don't trust the government in Washington, D.C.? Why? Yes, I believe Fauci's right. I believe we've created two Americas and we're creating a segregated America based on whether or not you are a serf, a subject of the crown of Washington, D.C. If you are an independent thinker, if you check things out for yourself, if you make your own decisions, you are now considered a sub-citizen in many of the places today. I'm going on this trip this summer. I will not fly because airlines will require me to either wear a mask that is poisoning me or take an experimental drug. Because the government, the TSA, another illegal agency, is telling me to prove I've been vaccinated or poison myself with a mask. I am a free citizen. If that's how you want to do business, I will not do business with you. Are the airlines going to worry about Paul? No. But you know what? You get a few thousand of us start saying, you know what? We're pretty tired of being told to take an experimental vaccine. Make that a couple of million of us and people will start paying attention. But it's just another example of why people don't trust. I was just as shocked as you are that I actually found something that Fauci said that was actually true. Of course, he was saying that to scare people into taking an experimental vaccine. So it may be true, but that's only because he wants it for, he using it for what I consider immoral purposes. Now there's one other, and this one, I saw this one and it blew my mind. I had to read this a couple of times before I really got the gist because I'm like, this cannot be true. This cannot be true. But apparently it is. Does anybody remember the Tuskegee experiment? Yeah, that's the time when the federal government experimented on Black Americans during a study on syphilis. Well, apparently, about a half a dozen relatives of the victims of the Tuskegee experiment are taking part in a campaign to fight distrust of the American healthcare system, to fight the people who don't trust that they should take an experimental vaccine just because the government says so. In other words, they're going to take the fact that people use the Tuskegee experiment as a reason, as justification to say, I'm not getting a vaccine because government has done this to the Black population before. They had infected us with syphilis to test a vaccine. I don't trust you. So you have relatives of the victims of that experiment that are trying to overturn that and say, no, you can trust it. Don't listen to our relatives who suffered from that experiment. No. You go get your vaccine. Everybody trusts you. Just trust the government. Do what you're told. Really? I'm shocked. This is like Jewish leaders saying, oh, no, don't worry about those Nazis. Nah, they're fine. No, all those Mengele experiments, don't worry about those. That was just propaganda. I'm shocked. Now, these are free people. I'm not saying they shouldn't be allowed to do this. I'm just, part of me is shocked that they're actually doing this. I mean, over a 40-year study, 600 Black men in Tuskegee, Alabama, without their consent, were tested on like guinea pigs. And their relatives are now saying you should trust the very same government that experimented on their relatives. I don't know how to look at that. I don't know how to look at that with anything but incredulity. The very idea that the relatives of those who were experimented on by the federal government are now encouraging Black people to trust the government to experiment on them again. I guess Santayana was right. Those who will not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And apparently, that the people of the relatives of the Tuskegee victims haven't learned their history. The whole thing with the Tuskegee experiment was a question of informed consent. They were not informed about what was being done to them. Yet here we have how many people who are taking the vaccine are informed. It's an experimental drug to protect you from a disease you have a 99% chance of surviving. I look at this and say, okay, there's a study that says the people don't trust what's going on in Washington. They don't believe those in Washington have their best interests in heart. But yet I see millions and millions and millions of Americans willing to do whatever Washington says without question. Without even putting up a stink. And in fact, they chastise you for not doing exactly what Washington says. CDC says, wear a mask. You don't wear a mask, you're a fool. You get called out by Karens on the street. Fauci says, wear two masks. You wear two masks. And if you don't wear two masks, well, you're Typhoid Charlie. Government says, take a shot. You take your shot. And if you don't, we're going to punish you. Now, why in all of that do people not trust that the federal government has what's best for them, that actually cares about what the people want? More importantly, why do people keep doing what the federal government says. I believe in part because we've been taught a lie about the Supremacy Clause. See, we've all been taught that federal law is supreme. Whatever the federal government says, that is supreme. Whatever Congress laws, Congress passes, that's it. You do not question it. It is law. But that's not what the Supremacy Clause says. It says this Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, are the supreme law of the land. See, Congress can't do whatever it wants. When Congress created the CDC, that law was void. Oh, no, that isn't just my words. Those are the words of Alexander Hamilton and Chief Justice Marshall from the Supreme Court. The federal government is not supreme. The federal government, legally, is the servant of the states, not their masters. The 10th Amendment says the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. The states are supposed to rule the federal government. The federal government should be almost, unless you're in the military, you should have almost nothing to do with the federal government. We shouldn't care who the president is because the Constitution does not make that the most powerful person in the world. It makes him a servant of the states. Read Article 2. Basically, you know, the president's the commander-in-chief, but it's Congress that sets the rule for the military. The president can only appoint judges and officers with the advice and consent of the Senate. He can only sign treaties with the advice and consent of the Senate. About the only thing the president can do without the help of Congress is pardon, meet foreign dignitaries, and call a special session of Congress. There's a couple other administrative things, but that's pretty much it. Everything else is done through Congress. And Congress can only enact laws that are pursuant, meaning that follow, the Constitution. But you see, we've been brainwashed. We've been taught that the federal government is our master, not our servant. And it is this ignorance, this apathy, that has led to a government designed to be small, limited, and focused on foreign affairs, to be dominating over the American people, to consume roughly one-third of everything we make, one-third of the GDP is spent by the federal government. I mean, think about it. We're now up over to a $6 trillion deficit. So when you add the $6 trillion deficit to the $3 trillion that the government does collect, I mean, we're talking almost $9 trillion. The GDP of the United States is something like $22 trillion. It's almost half. Government was supposed to leave you alone. Federal government was supposed to leave you alone. But we've let them. We've let them take over. We did it because the states stopped standing up to the federal government, and then the states agreed to let the genie out of the box. The 16th Amendment allowed the federal government to come directly to the people to collect taxes. Before that, direct taxes had to be apportioned to the states. They had to go through the states to get it. And then that same year, 1913, the 17th Amendment, let's not let the states have a say in federal elections. We'll get the people to select electors. Because why would we want states to have a say in federal legislation? Because it would allow them to interrupt the growth of the federal government, to prevent them from infringing on state power. See, Daniel Webster said, "I apprehend no danger to our country from a foreign foe. Our destruction should have come at all will be from another quarter. From the inattention of the people to the concerns of their government, from their carelessness and negligence, I must confess that I do apprehend some danger. I believe Mr. Webster was right. See, while we worry about Russia and China, we worry about foreign terrorists, America is being destroyed from the inside. Because the American people have let the reins of their government loose. They're careless. They're negligent with their government. When was the last time you heard someone debate or vet a candidate for office at any level based on their oath to support the Constitution? I haven't. I have yet to have a candidate come to me and say, you should vote for me because I stood up for the Constitution based on what it said, not what I wanted it to mean. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what's leading to the destruction of this country. That is why we need to know our rights, why we need to be engaged and involved in our government. It's why I hope you listen to this program. You can find out more. You can get the latest podcasts by going to AmericaOutloud.com. Look under our shows or schedule. Look for the Constitution Study. And do me a favor. Diligently read and study the Constitution of your country. And teach the rising generation to be free.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail. Love the neighbors and have a few good friends.